The Likutei Shas has some very, really, it conquers all. Likutei Shas, many of the things that Likutei Shas touch upon, what many of the commentators discuss. And if we have a limited, limited abilities in being able to bring out all the points, at least the Likutei Shas will definitely touch upon many principles. Let's start. Mizmor LeDavid on page 22. Mizmor LeDavid, Bevarchai Bivnei Avshalom Binoi. Mizmor LeDavid, we actually discussed this with Tachazal. Kino LeDavid Liboyle. This is a Mizmor, this is a Kino, this is a lament. A lament, this is similar to Mizmor LeOsaf. Bo Goy Ben Achal Osecha. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the same is, this song is Choymer LeDrush. Is this, the person has this a Beis HaMikdash for the world. If I'm not mistaken, there are only two Mizmorim where Chazal say exactly the same thing. Mizmor Ladav, Bevarcha B'nei Avshalom B'nei. Mizmor Liyasaf, Bohu Goyim B'nachal Osech. So if I'm not mistaken, these are the only two Mizmorim which Chazal make this comment. Mizmor Liyasaf, Kino, Mizmor Liyasaf, Kino Liyasaf Liboyle. Mizmor Ladavid. Kino LeDavid mi boyle. Right? These are the only two. The fact that Chazal...
The only two
Mizmorim with a comment, the comment, the exact same comment. There are many others?
Mizmor?
Mizmor, this comment. Kino mi boyle. I'm sorry? Not the word Mizmor. Not the word Mizmor. I mean the Gemara, the Chazal's comment. Kino mi boyle. How many times do Chazal ask this
question?
What?
You're talking about context now.
Right, context. I'm talking about these exact words. Okay. The word kino. Kino. Kino ni boyele. How could it say in this context, mizmor? It should say kino, a lament. It says this about this mizmor, and it says it about mizmor le'osaf. Mizmor le'osaf is Bohu goyim benachal osecha. The goyim, the Osaf is singing praise to Hashem that the goyim have come into your nachal, and he's saying a mizmor. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanus. He poured out his anger on stone, brick, on stones and wood. Eitzim va'avonim. And did not pour out his anger upon us, upon Klal Yisrael, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the Beis HaMikdash that allowed us to survive. It took the hit for us. And that has to be expounded in many, many different ways. Whatever that means, that's for Tisha B'Av. Go to a Tisha B'Av program. They will expound. You'll always hear that. Guaranteed. Just sit here for 5 minutes, someone's going to say that. Mizmor La'asaf. Kina la'asaf mi boyle. And they'll expound what does the Gemara mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured out his anger on Eitzim va'avonim and we were spared. Well, there's another Mizmor where Chazal make the same exact comment, and that's what we just learned. Mizmor LeDavid Bevorchoi Mipnei Avshalom Binoi. Gemara, right here on the page 22, on the bottom, Likutei Shas. Mizmor LeDavid Kina LeDavid mi boyle. Even before we go further, and before we move, what it says over here is the fact that these are the only two where Chazal make this statement, obviously there's a connection. There is a relationship between these two. And on the simplest level, what it means is, and this is something which is just so, this idea is just all over the place, is in a million different ways, is there is the macro and the micro. There is Klal Yisrael, and then there is every person is a miniature of Klal Yisrael. Just like we have a principle that every person is an Olam Olei, there's the world, and then every person is a world to himself. There is the macro and the micro. And that concept comes out in many dimensions. The world and this Klal Yisrael. There is the mice of a similar bonim. I'm getting a little confused, but let's look at it in this context. David, in his personal life, is experiencing the same thing that Klal Yisrael experienced as a whole. A person's home is his Beis HaMikdash. It's his Beis HaMikdash. There's a Beis HaMikdash for Klal Yisrael. It's the place, Ki Beisi Beis Tefilo L'chol Ha'amin. And then every single person who has a family, has a home, you have a dining room table, you have your little abode in this world, and if a person experiences difficulties, it's a mirror. It's a mirror and it's a me'ain, a microcosm of what Klal Yisrael as a whole is experiencing. Klal Yisrael went into Golus. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went into Golus. Asaf is saying Mizmar.
Persecution.
Mizmar al Asaf. David here is also going into Golus. His home is destroyed. If your own child is coming to threaten you, to kill you, to murder you. So David, what's happening to David is a reflection of what Klal Yisrael experiences on a whole. And that is how we're able in many ways to relate one dimension to another. When we look at Klal Yisrael, we see the issues of Klal Yisrael in the big picture. Then we're able to look at our own personal life and be able to draw parallels. And the advantage is, just as there's a whole body of Mamori Chazal and Musar and teachings of how Klal Yisrael is to deal with the situation on the level of the Klal, you can take those exact same lessons and apply it to your personal life. And just like sometimes it's the other way around, you find individuals in Tanakh who had difficulties, and they're able to overcome them, and there are tools and lessons and divrei agada. Those same exact lessons can be taken and applied to the Klal, the Klal Yisrael. So there is definitely a correlation. This, what I'm going to say over here is probably on the simplest level possible. I'm sure there are much, much more deeper concepts over here and why specifically these two things are expressed by Chazal with the same exact terminology, Kina Miboile, and they overlap. Double what was happening to him on the private level is a parallel to what Klal Yisrael experiences, obviously much later in their history, on a global or a national level. Okay, let's go further. So what does it say over here? It says over here, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Avi Shalom. You always have this in the Gemara. People who have a name, and their name, they always end up expounding upon stories in Tanakh where their name is found. Okay, you know, there was someone that I knew many years ago. It's amazing how time flies. I used to come to Chaim Berlin, Davin, there. I used to be a good guy. I used to come early. And there was an older person. He was a Zucker. His name was Rabbi Moteshin. His name was Irving Moteshin. Anyone ever know Rabbi Moteshin? Remember Irving Moteshin? What?
He was a Rabbi in...
No, he was a Sheikhet. He was a Sheikhet.
A Chazan?
No, he wasn't a Chazan. He was a Sheikhet.
His wife is Rabbi's sister, by the way.
Right, it was big. She used to come here. She passed away. I used to see her here downstairs. Mm-hmm. Years ago, that's a long, couple of years ago, she passed away. Right, it's been a while already. It's been probably 5-6 years already since she passed away. And he was a shaykhit. And he was a Talmud of Tarav Das by Rav Shlomo Hyman. He mamish of Shlomo Hyman did a job on him. He worshipped Rav Shlomo Hyman. He had in his siddur. Picture, open up the first page of the picture of Shlomo Hyman. He always carried the image, the Musti Yuknoi of Shlomo Hyman. And he loved Torah V'das, he used to go to Torah V'das. He moved over here, well, whatever reason. So he used to come and daven every day in the morning, Chaim Berlin, Shachris. He used to come very early. I wasn't there so early. I would come later. And he was there. And somehow, I don't know how, I hooked up with him. And he would ask me every day for years, I would say Baruchas. I would say Birchas HaShachar, all the Birchas HaShachar, because he wanted to answer Amen to Brachas. So it was a win-win situation because I said every day I had to say Brachas for real. It wasn't just a brrr, you know, not like I do now. I missed that very, very much. That was a very, very precious time. And after the Brachas, he would talk to me and tell this and that here and there. And every so often, he would always tell me a vort about the Akedah. He would tell me, he would just pick up on something in the Akedah And then you tell me a vart, another vart, another vart. Over the years, so you probably could have made a safe of all the verilach that he told me about the Akedah. Okay, he likes the Akedah. I never chashed until after he passed away. And his son told me the same exact thing. The son of Nassim Moteshin, he told me exactly his father always told him verilach on the Akedah. And like he never chashed. After he passed away, both of us, his son, we both independently figured out. His name is Yitzchak. His name was Irving. Okay, he was called Irving. But his Hebrew name was Yitzchak Ben Avraham. So, now the question I still don't know the answer to, is that why he actively went and had an affinity to the Akedah? It was consciously? What?
Identified.
Right. Or is it because it was in his neshama? It was just natural.
Probably both.
Oh, so there's an element of both. But even if you say it's both, it's an incredible thing, is that if his name was Yitzchak ben Avraham, he somehow gravitated towards the Akedah. Why? Was it consciously or was it unconsciously? What? I don't know. That's what it was. Okay, and that's only a couple of years ago. We're not dealing over here 2,000 years ago. In the Gemara, over and over again. Here is case in point.
Yeah, the classic one for me is the names of Mashiach. It's like
the people who expound what his name is, that's what their name is.
Yes.
You superimpose yourself upon the subject matter. What is Mashiach? Yinun Shemo,
right.
Menachem Shemo.
Right.
Who's saying this? The person who said that his name was Yinun, his name was Yinun.
Right.
The person who said his name was Menachem, his name was Menachem. Right?
Right?
You superimpose yourself upon others. So here is another example, case in point. We have a whole drasha about Avshal. Who's the one that's telling us the pshat, the Maimon Chazal? Avshalom! A person who lived 1,000 years later, at least, and his name is Avshalom, and he's darshaning what happened with Avshalom. Is that because he did this on purpose? If my name is Avshalom, so I'm gonna make my life work in the sugi of Avshalom. Is that the pshat, or is it no? There's something much deeper. There's something about something that is supernatural, something that is above comprehension. It represents the neshama over here has some connection to it. This you have this many times. So what does it say? A person has a debt to pay. Before you pay your debt, you're sad. After you pay your debt, you are happy. Ask King David. Likewise, regarding David, Hashem said to David, Hashem said in response to the Maaseh with Bathsheba, Hashem said to David, I have no choice but to punish you. I'm going to cause and bring about such a thing where there will be a rebellion from your own ranks. David was sad. Omar, he was afraid. Shema Eved, Oy Mamzer, Oy Hudle Choyesolai. We discussed this. Maybe it's going to be a slave. It's going to be a Mamzer who have no rachmanis upon me. Kevon, the Chazor, the Avshalom, who is Avshalom, Somach. Mishabach Aman Mizmar. That's why he said Mizmar. Fine. That's why Aman Chazal. Now, let's actually right now jump to. I didn't really mark off what I wanted to say. So you have to help me a little bit over here. Give me some slack. It's not a good. It's not really nice to say that. But the Ibn Ezra. Let's look at the Ibn Ezra now. Why indeed is it called a Mizmar? Okay. There are. Okay. No, that's not Ibn Ezra. I want to make a certain point. It's either the Radak or it's the Malba. Let's look in the Radak. I think it's in the Radak. The Radak, here it is. Here, this is what I wanted to say here. Ulefi Derech HaPshat. It's on page 25. On page 25 in the Radak. In the Radak, it's the second paragraph. Ulefi Derech HaPshat. Ki hamizmarim lo hayu nikra'im mizmarim b'shas maisa. Okay, when this event happened,
it was edited.
Exactly, it was edited. This sefer was edited. When David said these words, David did not say mizmar le David. He didn't say that. He didn't say when he was running away from Avshalom and he stopped off to catch his breath. He didn't say Mizmor LeDavid. He said Hashem Mo Rabu Tsoroi. Of course, there's no question he didn't say the words. He didn't say Bivarcha Mipnei Avshalom Bino. That we know he didn't say. Okay, that's a given. He didn't say. That was edited in. But the question is, when David was running for his life and he stopped off to catch his breath and he was mispalel, did he say Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Mo Rabu Tsoroi? Did he begin Mo Rabu Tsoroi with the words Mizmor LeDavid? And this is a major explosive debate.
No, we know Asaf was the conductor, right?
Good, then that's wait. Right, no, right, that, right, that's
you
one.
Say Shabbos, you
right,
say,
okay.
You say by Musa, like Enkel Okeke, you say the tribulation of the Shira Hayom, it starts with the second sentence.
Right, so the question is, what exactly did David actually say when he was running away? So according to the Maimon Chazal that we just said, it means that David, when he was running for his life and he stopped to catch his breath, he said, Mizmar LeDavid, Hashem Mo Rabu Tzorah. He said the word Mizmar. That's what the Chazal said. That's exactly what this Chazal says, and that's something Farshma on the page over here learn. He said the word Mizmar. Hashem, thank you very much. I have a very big daigus that it would be an Eved, a Mamzer. It would be something which would a person or that would have no Racham on this. Now that I see it's my son at the end of the day will have rachmanis upon me. So therefore, Hashem, thank you. Mizmar LeDavid. Along comes the Radak, and he disagrees. The Radak said it's not so. When David was running for his life, he didn't have time to think about this. That, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's my son, it's not someone else. No way. David was not thinking like this when he was running for his life. He did not say the word Mizmar LeDavid, Hashem Mo Rabu Tzorai. Ulufi Derech HaPshat, again on page 25 in the Radak, in the second paragraph, Ki HaMizmoirim Lo Hoyu Nikroim Mizmoirim B'Shas Maisa. No such thing. You don't have time to think about to be such cheshbonos when you're running for your life. You don't think like that. Ela Al Shem Shoyu Mizamrim Bohem B'Veis HaMikdash. That's it. In the Beis HaMikdash, this was edited, this word Mizmar was edited, was the word Mizmar was injected into this expression who edited this, it's not clear, but being that in the Beis HaMikdash, this was a Mizmar, that's why we called it a Mizmar. V'chein, goes on to say, V'chein, Bevo, Doik, Ha'adom, V'agil, L'shol, V'chein, all different events, even though it says there the word, I'm jumping down a couple lines, V'chein ha'ne'emodim al l'shoyim ha'golus v'yal ha'churban yushlam k'mo mizmar li'osa v'lukim bo'ogoyim na'chavosecha v'chein kulam ha'ne'emodim al David b'shas ma'isa sh'ye David b'chem b'sakana. When the events unfolded in real time, no one was saying mizmar. That's not normal. That's not a normal thing to do. Okay, it's not a normal thing that b'shas tzara to say Mizmar. I remember I went to this, you know, you can argue, it's a little bit controversial, I'm going to tell you now. I remember many years ago, I went to the Levi of Lubavitcher Rebbe. I remember the Levi, I was there.
It was by day.
It was a day, it was Sunday, they closed the trains, I went there. So then they brought out the Oroid. And I remember there was this gasp. I remember it was like a haunting gasp. You heard when they brought the Aron out, impossible, the Rebbe should die. And then I looked around, I don't know if it was only, it was a lot of people, and I saw people dancing. So, okay, so this is a controversial thing. Dancing? Now is not the time to dance.
It wasn't really
in
it.
What? So you want to say, Adarabah, this is an Amuna that is going to come back to life, or you want to say that the grief was so over the top that it was a fantasy escape. You bring down all the psychologists, and they'll give you a long deshavart as to why that in this particular case, when the Rebbe died, this is a unique circumstance, that maybe it was a good thing that they should dance. You know, you can darshan from today until forever, darshan the miyashiv, and I'm not, who am I to open up my mouth? But there are critics, okay? I'm not telling you my chidushim. It's not the time to dance. Ace, lyricoid, the ace. The shir in Koheles, there's a time, it's a kol osa yofa b'itoy. Ace lirkoid, the ace, I don't remember the word, ace to distance yourself from dancing. Not, it's not always the time to dance. It's not the time to dance. So here, David HaMelech is running away from his son. His son is trying to kill him. Is it really a practical lesson? The Tehillim, the Chazal, they're here as lessons for us to live by. You'll tell me there are exalted individuals, there are unique circumstances where people do exceptional things. But on a normal day to day, the average person, at a time of a tzara, the proper frame of mind is not to say mizmor.
That's
the machlokes.
Within this difficult time,
okay.
He says also,
in hindsight, you can say that.
Right.
In hindsight.
He said positive things here.
Right. That was part of his tefillah. But the word mizmor is over the top.
Even though it was bad.
Yeah, you're right, but the word mizmor, the word mizmor is over the top. In his words, you can read into the words of the mizmor all of the many powerful lessons, but to begin, to open up with the word mizmor, it's over the top. Now, is this something for us to learn from? That when the person is suffering the greatest sorrow, let's say at a funeral, you should break out with dancing and music? We're now going to celebrate his life. Now the goyim, they do this.
Yeah.
The goyim of funerals is a celebration of a person's life.
They have a wake.
But they do. Is that really the Jewish way? Is that the Jewish way? In Koheles, it's very clear. There's a time for everything. There's a time to be a lisboy, to eulogize, a time to cry, a time to dance, a time to be glad. David HaMelech now, his life is on the line. He's being threatened. Of course, in hindsight, he'll look back and you'll say, this was a miraculous event. Everything that Hashem does, kol ma'ad, ovid achmona, letav ovid. Yes, there's no question about that. In hindsight. But b'shas ma'isa, is this the correct approach? It's a machlokes. It's not so simple. It's a machlokes. There are those that will say, no, now is not the time. You see here, according to the Medrash seems to indicate, and we other Mefarshim, as David was running for his life, he stopped and he said, Hashem, thank you very much. Mizmor the David. We're going to make a Su'udas Hoidah. A Su'udas Hoidah could have been a lot worse. Okay, I accept. I'm not coming now. I'm opening up my mouth. But you see that the Radak doesn't go with that. The Radak says, it's very, very nice. There's a what to learn. There's no question, there's what to learn from that. But don't go to an extreme. Don't go to an extreme. You have to be very, very careful, very balanced. Everything is about balance. And he says, Ulufi derech ha-pshat. When it says Mizmor l'David, it does not mean that as he was running away, he said the word Mizmor. You have to be everything, everything has to be balanced. He says, in all of the tzars, the whole Sefer Tehillim, all of the horrible things that we come across, terrible events, the future and the past, and it begins with a mizmor. Does that mean as the event unfolded, you say the word mizmor? Some will say you yes. I mean, you see today, they tell you all these today we're in an am segula. We're an am segula, you have segulas. And today, things you heard, I never heard before, a person has a tzara, so you're supposed to say nishmas. You hear the segula? You're supposed to say nishmas. When you have a tzara, you're supposed to say nishmas. All right, I'm a Kabbal. I'm not coming to argue, but you know I've never heard this before. All these years on the crowd, we have it. So I go to the yeshiva. You have it, tzara. What do? You say Tehillim. I never heard this before. But you have it, tzara. The Naya Segula say Nishmas. Really? So I thought they taught us in kindergarten. When you have it, tzara, you open up Sefer Tehillim and you cry and you say Shir HaMalos. I never, when the Gedolei and people were sick, they said in Yeshiva, Shir HaMalos. Now it's a new thing now. Now I don't know what's going on in this world. Literally, someone is having tzara. So you say Nishma. Wow, Nishmas replaced Shir HaMalos. You'll tell me, all these big rabbis, we have Mekoros, 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 Mekoros. Listen, who am I? I'm a nothing. These are the Gedolei Yisrael that you're bringing Makaris for. Yesh v'yesh.
I have a story about the Holocaust. The Nazis did funny things with the Jews. So they came back from work and they were very tired. And the Nazi says to them, "Jews, dance.
Dance.
Start dancing." And they couldn't move. Everything hurt them. And so they went like this. And then suddenly somebody said, "Yin, dance." And he started to sing. And everybody
started to dance until the Nazis said stop, and they didn't want to stop. This is a story that is a different type of story. I understand the story, I fully get the story, and it's awesome. But that's an exception. That type of story, the circumstances, the event is a little bit different. Okay, but in any event, you see here the Radak is taking the Medrash to task, and it's balancing the Medrash. The Medrash is emes, and there's what to learn, and that's why we have such things of saying Nishmas, Peshas, Tzara, Al Shema Asif. Yet Al Derech Hapshat. Let's not forget what it says over here, in the Radak. Al Derech Hapshat. Don't make a mistake and think for one second that when David was running for his life, he said Mizmor. He didn't say Mizmor. And all of the other things in the entire Sefer, he says, he delineates all these other things. All it means is that in hindsight, or at the time when these were taken to be codified, to be collected into the Sefer Tehillim, to be used as a Mizmor for the Levim al HaDuchan, that's when we added the word Mizmor. That's how the word got into the Sefer. Ela la'achar shenitzal mikulam hayu mizamrim kulam the shevach v'hoydo lo kel yisparach v'hanemarim al hagolus. And those things that it says mizmar regarding the golus, the Radak, doesn't mean that you should say now mizmar, even though we do part of the mizmar, but it means yiyu mizmarim b'shuv hagolus, when the exiles return, that's when we're going to bring this back. Okay, that's an important Radak. Let's now go back to the next Mamre Chazal. Okay, let's go back to the next Mamre Chazal, back on page 22. Omar Leia Humin Rabbi Lebavo, an Apikores, said to Rabbi Avo, Ksiv Mizma Ludavarcha Rav Shol Benoi, Ksiv Ludavim Michtam Bavarchai Livnei Shol Bama Ora. Michtam is what's the word a michtam? I don't know what the word michtam means. We didn't learn this mizmar yet. Mizmar nun zayin. Okay, it's an expression of prayer. Let's just leave it in very generic form. LeDavid michtam. He wrote a plea, a heartfelt prayer when he fled Shaul. Question is. We learned this yesterday. What comes first, what comes last? Which story happened first? Here we are. We're in Mizmar Gimel. Mizmar Gimel is describing Avshalom. Avshalom happened at the end of the life of David. Why then, in Mizmar Nun Zayin 57, we're learning in number 3, we're talking about what happened at the end of his life. And in Mizmar 53, we're talking about what happened when David fled from Shaul. How come it is out of order? Obviously, not because Amina. Obviously, he never went to yeshiva. If he would have gone to yeshiva, he wouldn't even have a hava Amina to ask such a question. Everyone knows that this ain't mukum. There's nothing that's in order. There's nothing.
It's not the narrative.
Exactly. But he asked this question. Now you're saying very good, so Rachel, you're saying that the fact that the Gemara even presents this indicates that why isn't it a narrative? The fact when the Gemara presents a Hava Amina, okay, yesterday's Dav was a really great example. The answer you've given me is like smoke to the eyes and vinegar to the teeth. What in the world were you thinking when you gave us that answer? The answer is so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous that it couldn't make, doesn't make one bit of sense. It's a very harsh expression. Smoke to the eyes, vinegar So what's Takanu Pshat? What's Takanu Pshat? Why then did the Gemara burden us if the Havanin is so ridiculous? Why did the Gemara burden us with such a thought process? It needs an answer. Okay, in any event, so the question over here is that it's not out of order. It's not out of order. Hey, from the Rachman Shalom Baba Ora. Hey, Ma'isa Hava Bereisha. Nichti. Let's see. Ma'isa Shal Hava. I turned the page of Hava Bereisha, page 24. It was first. Licht Bereisha. Amaluhu. So he told him something very, very profound. He did not give him the answer of Ein Mukdom Umuchar V'Tehillim, which that itself is an indication that, no, you know something, generally speaking, maybe there is a chronological order to Sefer Tehillim, but there have to be exceptions. And any time there's an exception, it's a very profound lesson in the exceptions. It's a very deep idea. There is an order. There is a chronological order to a degree, but there are exceptions. And it is an exception that puts the focus on why this is an exception, and there's a lesson to learn from the exception. What is the lesson? Atun you apikarsin deloy darshisun smuchin kashalu. Now this itself is an explosive thing. What is an apikaris? How is the average person walking out from M, and is the average person what is an apikaris? You'll get a whole laundry list of ideas of how you define an apikoros. You know, years ago, we used to have these articles and these newspapers and magazines. You don't see this anymore. Define modern orthodoxy. It's almost impossible to put your finger on it. People who identify as with modern orthodoxy, how are they really different than those that don't, that it's anathema, yeah, that term.
Right.
How do you, and so there used to be these like very funny articles. Very funny articles trying to touch on the lifeblood.
Journals, they faded out.
Okay, it's very, these articles are very, very humorous, entertainment. Try to make a dictionary to make these definitions. But over here, students try to do the same thing and define an apikoros. There are plenty of apikoros out there. Dime a dozen. Plenty of apikoros out there. Try to define an apikoros. It's very, very hard. Not so easy to define the essence of an apikoros. Chazal over here is a good place to start.
Yeah, well, and in Sanhedrin.
What?
In
the Gemara, there are many tea leaves. There are many different places to look for. And here is one very interesting, is he defines him. An apikores is a person that does not doyresh smuchim. That's the machus of apikores. You're not doyresh, you don't take into consideration the significance of juxtaposition. That doesn't just mean chumash in Tehillim, it means in life. It means seder. Isn't to say the mara? There's a seder in this world to everything. Right? There's a seder to nisim, things that are lemala miderech hateva. There's a seder. The Haggadah is the blueprint of Klal Yisrael, Jewish history. It's the name of the title is a seder. Every single day we daven, all of our prayers are arranged in a sidur. This is not for nothing. Not for nothing, it's called a Sidur, a Seder. Why, what's the classic question, why does the Sidur begin with Moda Ani? I guarantee anyone here making a Sidur today would begin it with Meir. V'hu Rachum, V'hu Rachum, go everyone, go to Gehenna. V'hu Rachum, isn't that when the Jewish day begins? Oh, Machzor, where would we go to an art school Machzor for Rosh Hashanah? What does it begin with? With Mincha,
right.
Erev Rosh Hashanah, right. Okay? So why should the Sidur, the daily prayer book, why does it begin with Moda Ani? It should begin with Ma'ariv.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with Doyresh Smuchen, there's a reason. There's a reason, there's a reason why the Siddur is a holy book. I mean, what could be more holy than the Siddur? It's everything. Even David took also the Seder from the Seder. So, That's the joke that's getting a beating here. Okay, but what's going on over here? When you're dealing with hashkacha practice, hashkacha, the emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mesavet, he is the cause of everything that happens, then simuchin is critical. Apikarsim, in essence, they don't believe in hashkacha practice. I mean, that's one dimension of apikarsim. They don't believe in hashkacha practice. All different varieties. They come in 31 flavors. Apikarsim. But in essence, one of the major features of apikarsim, they don't believe of Hashem's involvement in all the details, in all of the arrangements, in the arrangements. And these words here are really explosive. You, apikarsim. The whole essence of an apikari is a person that doesn't believe in Seder. You don't believe in Seder. You don't believe in juxtaposition. I don't know what I'm saying here. You don't believe in this principle called Seder. So you look at a book, and a book has to be arranged at least according to your secular understanding, which means it has to be linear. There's a timeline, a linear timeline. You have to follow the dates. It has to be arranged in a very boring order. That's your problem. You don't understand that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he arranges things in very unique ways. And that attitude in life affects you, has affected you to such a degree that you even ask the question. If you live the life of the Makir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is the what's it called? He is the vice, the
what?
The orchestra.
The conductor.
He's the conductor.
The maestro.
He's the maestro. The conductor, then this question would not even enter your mind. There's a lot of depth in just where the atun. Deloy Darshi Sun Simuchin. I'm telling you, drush. It's not drush. It's hard drushes. It means in life, you don't look at this world as a world of hashgacha prakas, where everything that happens happens in a complex arrangement. That's why kashyol luchu. That's why you have this problem. Anan didar shinam smuchim. What kashyol on? Diam Rabbi Yochanan smuchim. That's what I mean. Not how you know the smuchim. Shneur the pasuk smuchim lo'ad lo'olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar. Things that are smuchim. Things that happen in rapid succession next to each other. Events that happen one next to each other. They are eternal. And they are done with emes and yashar, with truth and with uprightness. Even looking at the current events, these last 2 years, it's never been such a time in our lives, at least in my life, of so many major events, so many major different things happening in rapid succession that have totally changed the way we live. So some of these events didn't necessarily have to happen in this particular order. Not every single thing that happens is an outgrowth. Is an outgrowth of what happened before. Not necessarily. There are certain things that appear to be independent, and they could have happened at different points in time. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged them in a very precise order, because the order creates a dynamic. Like Coca-Cola, the classic question. If Coca-Cola claims that they have a secret formula, this is the age-old question that goes back from the time of Matan Torah. If Coca-Cola claims that they have a secret formula, how then was the OU able to give them a heksha? How was the OU? The OU was by Matan Torah. They had the banner. No, they had the banner by Matan Torah. How was the OU able?
I know the answer to that question.
What's the answer?
That they have to fill out a form. I'm just saying it very bland, you know, saying it doesn't have this, it doesn't have that. You know, they have to claim that there's nothing in there, which
well, they don't have. Right. Non-kosh. That's a very chiddush.
Also, they have the ingredients, but they don't have the percentages.
Percentages? Okay. Okay. There are two answers already so far. There's certain non-kosher.
So they actually went down and to the representative who actually went there and saw what it is that they were, what the name that he was.
I was always told
he was
a wrong
to
given
reveal.
The recipe, and he went to, he swore to secrecy.
Rabbi Albert,
so I went to a ask OU. It's called Ask OU many, many years ago, and they asked this question, and they said, we'll tell you what they say in the Zelt, and we'll tell you the real answer. The real answer is, we know the secret formula. That's the OU told us. Oh, come on, secret formula. We know the secret formula.
Somebody said, what you said is actually accurate, because if you go to the Coca-Cola plant in Atlanta, one of the exhibits there, they give you all the ingredients, and you have to try to match the amount of each to see how close you come to the real Coca-Cola, and it tells you like 80%, 85%, and you get to pick, these are the ingredients, and you try to manufacture, you try
to
get to taste it.
How do you know if this
can you believe they told you all the ingredients?
Well, okay, I'll tell you what they tell us.
Makes sense.
I'll tell you what they said. I heard this only 100 times, is we know the ingredients, we may even know the percentages, but we don't know the seder.
That's very important.
There's a chemical reaction.
That's correct.
And if you put this ingredient in first and this one second, and how much time you wait in between the ingredients.
What is this, the Coca-Cola?
Yeah, Coca-Cola. Costs a lot of money.
That's a fact.
It's a big business.
That's a fact. When you cook and when you make things,
right.
You have to have
stay
to
there.
No, no, they say, the Gemara says by removing a keser, a blood spot,
all over Chazal.
There has to be a certain order.
There's an order, right. There's a chemical reaction. There is a chemical reaction with cheles as well. There is a chemical reaction, and the chemical reaction can only be achieved with precision when things are done in a very precise order. And time as well is a factor. That's what it says here in the Pasuk. Events happen in this world that you can, if you study world history, you study geopolitics, it doesn't have to happen in this particular order. The fact that this event, this world event, happened at this point in time and not a year before, and this happened at this point in time, creates a dynamic which produces a result that otherwise would not have happened. Or the other way around, it's a rachmanis that Hashem did not have this happen at this point in time, because then it would have been a disaster. It would have been much, much worse. Simuchim, the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges things one next to the order. In other words, seder, precision in order, lo'ad lo'olam asuyim. Okay, I don't really have a good translation for this, but it is eternal. There is an element of divinity. Anytime you talk about lo'olam vo'ed, it means there's only one being that it possesses the nida of lo'ad le'olam, only Hashem. Because a human being doesn't stick around in this world forever. Human being only sticks around this world for a short period of time. The only one that has the nida of lo'ad le'olam is the Ribbono shel Olam. So that's what the Pasuk means, is that the principle of simuchin, of arrangement, of events in a particular order, is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's done asuyim be'emes v'yoshav. Okay, that's the hakdama to the answer to the question of the apikoris. Lama nismucha parashav v'sholom l'parash gogu magog sh'im yom l'cha adam klum yesh eved sh'marid b'rabai. Is there such a thing that an eved rebels against his master? Af ata emar loy klum yesh bein sh'marid b'aved. Is there such a thing where an eved, can it possibly be that a servant can rebel against his master? Tell him, look what happened, look at history. Afat emelo klum yesh bein shemurid ba'aviv elahava hachinami hava sheyimroid goig ba'Hashem. In other words, goig u'magoig, this gets involved in who exactly is goig, who is magoig, what exactly is the story of the milchemes goig u'magoig. So this is beyond us. We spent definitely time on this. We learned in previous years in different neviim about goig u'magoig. There are so many different opinions as to how these events will unfold, but among the body of interpretation, commentary about Goig u'Magoig, there will be a rebellion. There will be a major rebellion. Goy will rebel against Magog, or Goy and Magog will rebel against the other nations, or they will rebel against us, rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I do not know the details. I do not know, but there is a lot of information about this, and we learned, I totally forgot everything, but there is a lot of, and a lot of it involves, if you study the story, the average person will say, impossible. The story is impossible. It didn't happen yet, by the way. The story didn't happen yet. Well, maybe it happens every generation. You'll say that Goyg u'Magog, every generation is Goyg u'Magog. The Nazis was Mohammed Sagan Magog. The Crusades were Gemachos Magog. The expulsion was Gemachos Magog. Okay, the Tsars of Russia were Goyg u'Magog. Every generation, the Inquisition was Goyg u'Magog. Bio-germ warfare is Goyg u'Magog. COVID is Goyg u'Magog. Okay, everyone will tell you, in every generation, the Nisoyon of the generation is Goyg u'Magog, and if only we would get our act together, Mashiach would come through what's happening in these world events, and in hindsight we would say, they were Goyg u'Magog. But part of Goyg u'Magog captured in this principle, which we'll only understand in hindsight, is there is a brazen act of rebellion. And you have to know who Goyg u'Magog, know the story, and when you'll study the story, and you'll read about the story, you'll walk away and they'll say this is fiction. Impossible. Even in Hollywood, they wouldn't make this up. It's reality is what's the expression? Reality is stranger than fiction.
Fact is stranger than fiction.
Right? It's so true. Impossible. So when you, the first Mizmor Beis is Goyg u'Magog. That's Mizmor Beis. And David over here is, this is according to one interpretation. We learned a little bit of the different perushim. What happened over there? Lama rakshu goyim ul yagurik, right? The Goyg u'Magog. So if you know what's going on, the average will say impossible. This thing over here is a book of fiction. Tilim, Sefer Tilim is not for real. Fantasy world. Really? Fantasy world. My response to you is Mizmor l'David b'varchom b'bnei Avshalom b'no. You know. How about that? Is that fiction? That's an historical fact. No one is coming to deny the fact that David was driven out from the palace, from his malchus, by his own son. Is that fiction? That's not fiction. If it would not be a reality, would you believe such a thing could happen? No, definitely not. But you do admit that it did happen. So the same way you admit that it did happen, now you can have emunah that what's going to happen, every single thing that Chazal tells will happen, will indeed happen. It is not fiction, it is the world of reality. That's what he said to the Apikoris. This is the reason why this Mizmor is juxtaposed to the Mizmor Beis of Mulchemes Goyg u'Magog. Okay, next Chazal. Now this is an amazing Chazal. This is amazing because this Mizmor, it opens up a world of commentary about this Mizmor, which we can't even really scratch the surface. This next Mizmor is telling us how do you expand the sanctity of Yerushalayim, or even the Har HaBayis. We know today that you go to the Har HaBayis today, you go to Yerushalayim, the Kodesh HaMaravi, so the Mishnah says the Har HaBayis is 500 Amos by 500 Amos. That's what it says. No one can argue with that. It's the Mishnah. The Har HaBayis is a square 500 by 500. Today, the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, is approximately 1,000 Amos by 500. Okay, the width from east to west is really 500 Amos. Basically, I mean, how do you calculate an Amos? You know, is it between 18 inches and 24? 18 and 24 inches. So that's basically, there are 500 units of between, you can make, it works out perfectly. You go look at all, many of these farms. The width is approximately 500 amos. What about the length? The length is not a square, it's a rectangle, and it's double. Double, how to get double? The mission says, so we know the answer with clarity, that Hordis expanded the Har HaBayis. He doubled the size of the Har HaBayis. If you're standing by the Kodesh of HaMaravi, you expand it to the left. To the left is where it's been expanded double the size. Double. Now the question is, the part that he expanded, does that have sanctity? The Har HaBayis has the status of Machane Leviah. And Machane Leviah has a unique set of rules. Machane Leviya, a Zav is not allowed to be in Machane Leviya. Is anyone today a Zav or a Zav? A woman can be a Zav today. Theoretically, if I'm not mistaken, a woman can be a Zava, not Namish today. A woman can be a Zava. How could she be a Zava?
We don't know.
Because a Zava does you don't need any special color of any special color. It's regular dam. A woman who has a Re'iyah 3 days in a row, after after day number 8. When a woman has a Nida, so there are 7 days. That the next 7 days she's called a Nida Minat Torah, according to Torah law, and then there are 11 more days. If during those 11 days a woman has a Re'iyah, a Marah, 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gedolah. She needs to bring a Karban. And the only way she can cleanse herself from the Ziva is by being Toivel in a Mayan. She needs Zayin Nikiyim. And a Mayan. Noshim today don't go to a Mayan for mikvah, they go to a regular mikvah. So it could be possible. It could be, if I'm not mistaken, could a man be a Zav today? That's a big topic of discussion. There has to be a certain color. A certain color is the color. We don't know. That's a big topic of discussion. But the Nafkamina is a Zava or a Zav is not allowed to go in Machane Leviya. So today there are people today that's very very common amongst Achenu B'nai Yisrael, they go to Temple Mount. Now amongst many people that's a no-no, you don't do that. This is none of my business. But there are people who go to Temple Mount. How are you allowed to go to Temple Mount? If Temple Mount is Machane Leviya and a person may indeed be a Zav or a Zava, you're not allowed to go there even according to you. You're not allowed to be there. We're not talking about going into the Azor. In Azor, the area of the Azor you can't go because the Azora is Machane Shekhinah, a Tomei Meis, we're all Tomei Meis. So that you can't go there. So the people who go, we don't go there. We know where the Azor is or approximately where the Azor is. We stay far away. Very good. Okay, you stay far away. But what about the temple? What about outside of that area? You're still Machane Leviya. Does it have Kedusha? Hordis expanded, so we won't go with it. We'll go only on the left side. The left side is the expansion. It doesn't have Kedusha. How do you know it doesn't have Kedusha? Maybe the Anshe, maybe when they rebuilt, when they expanded it, they gave it Kedusha. How do you give it Kedusha? So there's a technique. And the technique is, and it's not only for the Azar, it's also for Yerushalayim. Today, the Yerushalayim in the municipality is not just the old city, it's a massive expansion according to in the state of Israel, what is considered to be Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Are you allowed to eat Kodshei Kalim in the new Yerushalayim?
No.
In the Waldorf? Why not? The Waldorf is called on the map Jerusalem. So why can't you? Why you'll tell me it's miles away from?
It's outside the Chaimah.
So the Chaimah is the old city. So it's been expanded in the 21st century. The Yerushalayim has been expanded. So why is that not good enough to be permitted to eat the Korban Pesach in the entire Yerushalayim, the new city? So the answer is, well, you can do it. How? There's one tonight. You have to do the procedure that is outlined in Sefer Nehemiah. And it's a very complicated procedure. And what is that? You bring a special korbanos, and you have a ceremony. You have to march. You march. The kohanim march, holding in their hands minochos. We once upon a time learned this in the Sefer Nehemiah. There's a whole ceremony, a whole shulchan aruch. How do you invest sanctity into expand Kedusha? Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Part of that procedure of bringing korbanos and marching with menachos, you have to sing Shira. You have to sing. What do you sing? Oh, I'll sing anything I want, right? You have a whole Sefer Tehillim. No. You know what you sing? This Mizmar. Can you imagine? From all of the Mizmarim, 150 Mizmarim, that are available to sing. I don't think anyone here in this room would pick this mizmar to be sung as part of the technique, part of the process of investing, instilling Kedusha into a new area of Yerushalayim, that it should get the full-fledged Kedusha, Ad Kedei Kach, that you're allowed to eat your korbanos, Kodshei Kalim. This is called the new Yerushalayim. Who would imagine that this would be the Mizmar that must be said in order to give Kedusha to the expanded Yerushalayim? Look what it says over here. Ein Moisif Na'alu'ir, you're not allowed to add to Yerushalayim. Binogei, of course, bringing korbanos. Or even let's say have a mitzvah. A mitzvah has to be sent out of shalosh machanos. Someone who's a mitzvah, you got to leave, vacate Yerushalayim. Badod yeshev michutz lamachane moshavai. So if you're in the Waldorf, can I stay there if I'm a mitzvah? Well, if the Waldorf is part of Yerushalayim, the answer is no. You have to leave gimel machanos. If it's not part of Yerushalayim, you don't have to. Well, how do we make it part of Yerushalayim with it for regard to this halacha? First of all, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to add more kedusha. Ella, there are conditions. Ella b'melech v'navi. You have to and v'udim v'tum v'sanhedrim shalshim v'yachad. Quite a list here. You need a melech. You need a navi. You need the udim v'tumim. You need the sanhedrin of 71. Uv, and here comes the next two conditions. Uv v'shtei todos. You have to bring, the tzibur brings two carbonized toides, double carbon toide, and uveshir. There is a march through the city. The march through the city is singing shira. See this now. I understand now why this is another reason why you can appreciate why there is literally violence when they have the, I don't even want to say the word, the same gender parade in Yerushalayim. I was there literally 2 years ago. Mamish, come out 2 years ago, this time of the year. I was there 2 years ago, right before, it wasn't long before Corona broke out. I was there in the Eretz Yisrael, and they had a march. They had a march, this parade. And I remember, it wasn't an embassy yet then, but there was this, I don't know what it was. Look, it looked like a military base. It was right near the Waldorf. American base, you saw Americans, they were always wearing sunglasses and standing guard around it. And they had this massive banner plastered on this building, and it said, "We, United States of America, join you in celebrating your pride and your race, the Torah, in the heart of Yerushalayim." You do this. I understand, listen, it's not our world here. You know, do whatever you want. It's a free world. Don't tell me what to do. But in Yerushalayim, you know, I didn't really think much about it. I didn't feel like this, what I can think. But then one day I wanted to go, so I was going somewhere, and like all the streets were closed down. Everything was shut down. And there was a whole chevra of these people dressed in total black, from top to bottom, total black, motorcycles. In fact, there were two people on each motorcycle, and they were zipping up and down all over the place like ants. Who are these people? Special forces. Why? They're having a parade. They're expecting violence.
Because it was a Meshuggah and Schlissel who actually killed a guy the year before.
Okay, could be, okay.
Parade guy.
Yeah, right. They're expecting violence. There's a parade coming down the street over here. All the streets are shut down. And these chevra special forces, they're running around. And then I hear the helicopters all over the place. And this is not, I'm not lying to you, this is shocking. It was the entire time I was there, it was beautiful. The weather was just astonishing how beautiful it was at the time. The weather was, all of a sudden at that time, you're not gonna believe me. At that time when all these helicopters, it got very, very dark. It's clouds came out, it looked like there was going to be a thunderstorm, and it got very windy and very dark. And it was very ominous. Like, what? What's going on? And like, it really hit me. You're here in the Paltan Shel Melech. This is Yerushalayim Eir HaKoyim. It's not New York City. This is not Times Square. This is the Paltan. You mamish felt Hashem was making a macha. How dare you do this in my city? I never expected to feel like that. Because you live in America, your attitude is, leave me alone. Leave me alone, do whatever you want. What do I care? Okay, let us do whatever you want. It's a free country. I'll be watching you, and you want to go do whatever you want. Just don't bother me. Don't bother me. You have that attitude. You're an American. You have that attitude. So you're Yerushalayim. No, they are Meshugayim. They want to go do this, whatever it is. So you just look the other way. Right? You look, do whatever you want to go do. In fact, there was a very big machlokes, I think not then, but years before, between the Ger Rebbe and the Ger Rebbe, and who was the other side? I don't remember the other side. There was a very big machlokes. Should you go, should you protest? And I remember, I think it was the Ger Rebbe said, just ignore it. Don't fight. Let them do what they want. It's not kedai to fight. Ignore the whole thing.
You give them more attention.
And there was another Gedolei Yisrael that felt, no, the insult to Eretz Yisrael was so great, you cannot sit back and do nothing. You have to make a macho. It was a very big machlokes, a hashkafik machlokes, how to deal with, anyway, you don't make a debt, it's not going to make a debt with you, who cares what you do, you know, the Haredim, they're a teeny drop in the bucket, but should you still, you know, should you still, there's a very big machlokes in the Gedolei Yisrael, how to deal with this. But I was very, the Palutonim Shamelach, so you know, until now it occurs to me, reading this Maamar Chazal, the only parade you make in Yerushalayim is a parade to expand its Kedusha. The way you're moisif on Yerushalayim, I'm trying to make believe, fantasize. Why was Hashem so upset? Why did it become dark and windy and ominous? Because you make a parade? For what? For a to'eva? The only parade you should be making here in this street is the parade that it says in the Gemara in Brachos to be moisif, the Kedusha, to Yerushalayim with a melech, a navi, the Urim V'Tumim, the Sanhedrin, Shoshim V'Yachad, Ushtei Toidois, they should be marching, holding in their hand a carbon Toida, Uvashir! That's what's relevant to us over here. That's the only parade you make in Yerushalayim. A parade in Yerushalayim, this is the parade. The parade to expand its sanctity. So you can eat on this street, Ben Yehoyah, and you can eat right here, right in front of the world, or in the world, you can eat a Karm Pesach. That's the parade you're supposed to be making, not a parade to promote things that the Torah calls a To'eva. Now, Tan Rabbanan, what do you say? What are the Mizmarim? We have a selection here, 150 Mizmarim. What are you going to say when you do during this parade? Tan Rabbanan, Mizmari HaTehillim, Sh'amusham, okay? Shir Shal Toida. Milova, you sing the Shir Shal Toida. The Shir Shal Toida is Perek Kuf. Mizmar Kuf, okay? Miluveh, Bichinoi Rois, Uvin Valim, Uvitzel Tzilim, all the musical instruments, Alkol Pin Upinov, Yalkol Evan Gedolu Shemisham. Every time they pass a stone in a corner, a street corner, they sing Shira. This is what instills Kedusha, invests, imbues Kedusha into these Mekoymois. And then look what it says. Isn't the shocking? The war continues. And you know what you say when you finish Mizmar Kuf? You know what the finale is? This Mizmar. Who would ever guess? Who in the world would ever guess that this Mizmar is what you need to say to imbue the streets of Yerushalayim with sanctity. The Choizer the Oimer Mizmar LeDavid Mizmar Gimel Bevarchoi Mibnei Avshalom Binoi Hashem Mo Rabu Tzoroi Ad LaHashem HaYeshul Amcha V'Yirchasech HaSela. Okay, this is not explosive, off the charts, I don't know what is. What's Takut Pshat? Why is this Mizmar from all the 150 Mizmar so essential in order to imbue sanctity to Yerushalayim? So the simplest thing you can say is, David here is running away from Yerushalayim. David, when he composed this Mizmar, he was leaving. I'm saying goodbye. This is no longer my makom, my place.
I'm a fugitive,
I'm leaving. And now it's come a point in time, not only have I returned back home to my palace, I've been able to expand my homeland. It's a reversal. It's a reversal of fortune. I'm no longer leaving and giving up and handing it over. handing over Yerushalayim to our enemies. Give up land. Okay, you want to divide Jerusalem. I'm sure there are plenty of liberals out there that would be very happy to give away the whole Yerushalayim. Without Chuck Schumer, I'm sure he would vote in 1 second. Give away the whole Yerushalayim. Give it away. Not only are we no longer abandoning our heritage, without the promise of the Avos, we're expanding. It's unbelievable. And it's very powerful. You look at this Mizmor, Hashem, more Rabu Tzor, Rabu Kamalai, the whole Mizmor is about losing. I'm running away, I'm losing, it's all over. And Hashem has a sense of humor. Hashem, you're running away, don't worry. Who's the boss here? The day will come, you will return. Not only, here's the insight, not only are you returning, you will flourish, you will expand, you will grow, you will blossom. That's the Mussar. Don't ever think, even in the most difficult, impossible situation, that it's all over. Not only is it not over, not only will you come back, here's the main point, not only will you return, you will grow. Can you normally say, Lou, I lost my fortune. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I got it back. You didn't just get it back. You got it back and you doubled in size. Here, Yerushalayim is expanding. We want to expand Yerushalayim. Why do you want to expand Yerushalayim? Because we want to be able to eat kachin. We want to be able that this street should be sacred ad kidei kach, Pesach. You can eat your Karban Pesach. You can only eat the Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. You can't eat Karban Pesach outside Yerushalayim. We want to imbue sanctity in this makom. We want to expand. When you want to expand, reflect upon the day when you were defeated. And the most you could ever expect at that point in time with the biggest miracles is maybe one day you'll come back. And you should come back and expand and grow? Wow. That's l'malim derech ha'teva. Ma'aseh Elokim. That is why this mizmor is was said at the time of expansion, because it reflects this mizmor, the ultimate defeat. The ultimate defeat where you have to abandon ship. Mayday. Abandon ship, we're done. Not done. You're coming back. You're coming back to make it even bigger and better than it ever was before. Okay, we'll do another 2 minutes before even though there's so many things we really want to do over here. Let's talk about Sela, because I want to talk about Sela just for a moment. Look at the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra on page 27. On page 27, V'rabim yifarshu Sela kamo lonetzach. Many interpret the word Sela on the top of the page 27, Ibn Ezra, as the word forever. The einenu nochoin. Ibn Ezra did not mince words. He did not suffer fools gladly. Is that the expression of Michal? I always forget.
Yeah.
Did not teach him all these things. Rabbi Eliezer Mibolzhan
si.
Okay, Ibn Ezra says, Sela mi the einenu nochoin umitalim sefer tilois la'aret. Now look at this. This is really nasty what he says over here. The people that say that the word Sela means forever are those people who translated for the Arelim. The Arelim is the nastiest word you can say for a guy. The Orel. Vozok the Orel. Did he say that? Begin? Did he call the president?
No.
He called him the guy. He called him the guy, the Shagets?
Levi Eshkol was riding in the car.
Right. Right.
I heard Sark's brother.
What's
up, the Shagit?
The Shagit, not the Orel.
I thought it was the
guy. The Shagit. I have to find out the exact words. The Orel is a very, I don't know if it's in his time, but today it's a very derogatory term. Today in this society this woke society, the word Orel will be banned 100 times over. Orel means a guy. It means he did not have a Baris Mila. But it has a certain flavor
it's the symbolism is kashtop in the Yiddish,
what it means
by the cup. An order. It's a very nasty word.
Yonis and David doesn't let him picture the baby till after the bris.
Because he's an oral.
Yeah.
He's an oral. So
the
so doesn't like so umetargim sefer tilois ladelim. Those people that say this, that the word selah means forever, those are the type of people who are translating who are translating this book for the Arelim. Okay, and that has a whole flavor for the goyim, for people whose minds and hearts are completely closed from any degree of spirituality. They don't know what they're talking about. Why? Amar ki milas sela ein lo tam. It has no meaning. The word sela, the word sela is void of any significance whatsoever. The only purpose of this word sela, rak hi litikun tam hanigun. The only purpose of this word, this was a word that was injected as a note for the conductor, or a note for the musicians, or a note for the singers. It's something to do with music that has nothing to do with the parish hamilos at all. Don't go inject any holiness into this word sela. Yeah?
So by Sfardim, between Kriyas Mashmon and Esrei, they do have the
word. Right, so obviously.
So isn't that a hefsek?
So obviously.
It doesn't mean anything, that's a hefsek.
We don't follow the Ibn Ezra in this regard. It's very obvious that the Ibn Ezra has been outnumbered. Even though he said that the people that say what that disagree with him are people that are metargim the pasuk for the Arelim, which doesn't have a very nice flavor to that, obviously that's not accepted. All of this, in fact, what's the gematria of Sel? Sel is the gematria, the combination of Yudke Vavke and Adnus. Adnus, Yudke Vavke, I'm not at the 91. I remember, there's a lot of the gematrias, I don't know, but the word Sel obviously is a sacred word. There's no question about it. But he doesn't understand what we at this point. He disagrees thoroughly, and the proof he says, "V'ei the proof to this ki lois simotzei zayis amila b'chol amikra ki in b'tzvilas chavakuk shloisha perigimel." See how he ties it? It's very what he says. Chavakuk shloisha. There in the third chapter, she kederech tihilois al shigyonois kemo shigoyon l'David. Lamatzech b'negin. These are all different expressions to referring over here to. I'm not familiar with shig yoinois. Some say that word means a shagoga, but others say it's a musical instrument. And the word lamatzeach, we all know for the conductor, bin gi nosoi. Some also want to learn that it's a musical instrument. So the hine eich yeh perish selul lamatzeach. How can you possibly say that it means selul lamatzeach? Okay, so then he goes on a little bit more. Let's do that. But the point over here, this very interesting thing that's over here is the word sela. In his understanding, is absolutely no significance. If you look at the other mefarshim, you look, let's see over here at the Radak, he also says the word sela. Let me find where he says it. I can't find it. Maybe we can look at the Malbim, but where did I see it? That's something very interesting.
The article translated as forever, doesn't it?
The article, right, right. That's what he comes to the Greek.
The Targum. Okay. Says as long as right forever also. The Targum. So that's what we translate.
Le'olam. The Targum says right. Look at the Perush Horid on page 26.
Right.
Perush Horid. Sel b'chol amiko kulo lo nemar selakim b'tilim uvechavakuk. That's the only place you can find this word. V'yesh v'farshim oisah shemakom shoymer selo oz hoyimake kli hashir u'menagim. This is what the Ibn Ezra says. The word sela really has no significance. It's just it was used as a musical note that they would be make kli hashir uminagein, period. Then it's something very interesting. Vuhu miloshon misila. This is very fascinating. Misila means a path. A misila. A road. A misila. So what is the Rid saying a new interpretation? Or is this coming to explain, he's explaining what it means when they hit with the kli? Even if you separate those last words from the beginning of the read, he says it's miloshoin misilo, a path. That's fascinating. If you take that idea and you inject that word, a path, into the pasuk, because most of the mafarshim along the page will tell you it means either MS, it is true, or it means netzach, it means forever.
Right.
The Ibn Ezra says it means nothing. It's totally it's just a musical. It's a word that is a simon for the conductor,
a note.
But here, in the process, he opens up a whole new world of an interpretation that it comes from the word sela misila a path. So when it says Ein Yeshuasaloi Velokim Sela, that will mean you have no path for redemption. There's no therapy for you. It takes on an entirely new interpretation. David's enemies are saying, David, Ein Oimim Lenafshi, my enemies say about my neshama, Ein Yeshuasaloi Velokim, there is no salvation to it for me in Hashem. Sela. What does that mean? Sela forever. It is true. The now also, it's a little bit bizarre. Now is when the conductor is going to pick up his hands, or they're going to bang on the drums. Ah. Well, what's the relevance over here? But if you take what the Rit says, it's beautiful. At least in this context. Sela means a road. A path. When a person goes to a doctor and there's an issue, so the doctor says, we have a plan. This is the plan of action. There is a path. It's not a one-shot deal. I'm not going to just give you a medicine. I'm not going to do some hocus-pocus and you're going to walk out of the office and you're cured. It's going to take time. There's a mahalich. We're going to do A, B, C, D. And in between A and B, we have to wait, we have to do this. That's the way the modern medicine works. Let's say a person needs therapy, you gotta come back. They have 10 sessions. Yeah. Yeah, it's sessions. Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to go through multiple sessions. You gotta build, there is a derech. There is a mesila to reach salvation. About teshuva, because it's about teshuva. He did an avera. You go to the rabbi. What, you're forgiven in 1 second? There's a mahalich of how to do teshuva. Take that idea and inject into the positive, and it's beautiful. My enemies say, David, you're done. There's no therapy. There is no technique. There is no path for you to take to reach salvation. They're not just saying to David, you're done. David, we'll tell you, so you'll think, okay, you tell me I'm done. I'll go to a doctor. He'll have a mahalach for me. I'll go to a therapist. No, David, there is no derech. There is no path you can possibly take that will lead to a salvation for you. There's nothing you can do. You're done. It's not that you're just done. Don't even think that you can find a mahalich, as we say today's terminology. That's a whole new parish in the word selah. Yeah.
Okay. 2 points. One is, of a path or roadmap also works for the conductor of an orchestra. So that's one possible point.
Okay.
The other thing is, does this explanation only work here in this pasuk? Does it work everywhere? I don't know that.
Okay.
Because
Ashrei
Yoshua Ol Yalu Luka.
Sela.
And even then.
A process. Sela thus means a process.
And even then there's a break point.
That's a very good point, because
but over here,
it doesn't
look at the second sola. You're gonna give me an answer.
Kol Yoshem Ekavan Enya Mehar Kodsho
is
Sela. This is an idea. It's a novel idea. I never heard such a thing before. I mean, I would have to explain why it's called Sela. You have to explain what Sela, Lashon Mesila. What? Mesilas Yesharim. Right? The Sefer is called Sela. I never crossed my mind that the word Sela comes from the word Mesila. And Mesila just means a road. And you take the word, that word, in its as a metaphor, it means a process, multiple steps to reach an ultimate goal. Nothing happens overnight. Everything is a process. Okay, we don't have to stop over here. Tomorrow, going with Ms. Madalit.
Take into consideration.
Yes.
That if nearly 99% of the occurrence, it follows the second person singular, Yahalalucha Sela. So this comment's hey could be a vocative. In other words, O and Si'il means to be pure or radiant.
Okay, so
O, radiant one. It's Si'il is from Akkadian or Sumerian. So that is my interpretation. Since most of the occurrences are after the second person, then it's a vocative. It's you, radiant one.
So you're saying the word Sela is rooted in radiance, or glow, a glow.
Se'il is to be pure, radiant.
Fascinating. Okay, so another interpretation. Fascinating.
And that's because it follows the second person, Yahalalucha, you, Sela. In other words, that Sela is following or addressing the Rebbe Shalom, radiant one, or pure one. That's my understanding. Se'il in Akkadian or Sumerian means to be pure or radiant.
Fascinating. Okay, what's very, unfortunately, there's so, obviously, you don't need me to tell you, there is so much more here. There's an infinite amount of commentary, and what we're really severely lacking, which I unfortunately didn't do it justice at all, and it really would have been very easy to read a little bit of that, is to read the story of Avshalom. You really can't appreciate the Mizmar at all, unless maybe in the future we should do such things like this, to read the psukim of the story of exactly what happened. It would just take forever, though, to go through the story. And then when you go look at this Mizmar and you contrast the Mizmar verse Sefer Shmuel, where the event unfolds, then it opens up another whole world of understanding the actual event that, as it happened. But unfortunately, for now, at least for this Mizmar, we're going to go weiter tomorrow, Mizmar Dalet. Okay.
That should be like homework.
We'll take a short break.